Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Call it an urgent plea from banker Jamie Dimon. Someone stop us from hurting ourselves.
We ended up with a strategy that's flawed, complex, poorly conceived, poorly vetted, and poorly executed. This should never have happened. I can't justify it. Unfortunately, these mistakes were self-inflicted.
You would be wrong, though, if you heard that bit of banker contrition from Jamie Dimon a few weeks back as a yearning for more federal regulations. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon announced a risky derivatives trade loss of perhaps $3 billion, even as he and others are actively lobbying to keep the feds from adding any more regulations. And you would also be wrong if you thought that this lobbying business is over some financial reform law that is yet to be voted on in the House or Senate. No, that is settled. The Dodd-Frank Act is the law of the land. It has been for some time now. But the regulations for that law are being written in a poorly understood parallel universe process that lacks the relative transparency of Congress, but absolutely determines what happens in the real world. Joining us now to help us explore this arcane yet critical function of American government is Paul Schultz, professor of finance at the Center for the Study of Financial Regulation at Notre Dame University. Professor, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So how much of a parallel universe is the regulation writing process? And then we'll talk about the specifics of financial regulations.
Well, Dodd-Frank, for example, is an enormously complex bill. And a lot of the important features are just left for the regulators to decide at a later date. The heavy lifting, so to speak, is done at the SEC and the CFTC and the decisions they make about the specific regulations. It's not a very visible process to most people, but it's certainly a process where both the industry and the public have a lot of input.
What is the public's input? Because I think a lot of people wonder if this process is democratic. It seems to be run by a lot of very technical folks with interests that maybe the public doesn't understand.
That's true that a lot of it is very technical. A lot of the provisions of Dodd-Frank are of little interest to most people and are really only understood by people who are knowledgeable about the industry. Both the SEC and the CFTC solicit comment letters from the public on their rules as they're in the process of writing them. And they do read these comment letters. They take them very seriously. Some of them, obviously, are not of much interest to your typical investor, but many of them are. And they do take these comment letters seriously.
All right. So given that process, that in normal circumstances, people aren't terribly interested in this, and you may have public comments that, as you say, there's a way of moving that through the discourse of how you actually write the regulations. But in general, we would be paying almost no attention to this, but for the fact that J.P. Morgan Chase lost $3 billion on a derivative trade that Dodd-Frank might have regulated, and as this process is going forward, what do you think the change is going to be now in this regulation writing process, now that the public suddenly has a window in with a big story like this?
Well, first, that's always been the process of regulation in the financial markets. It's always been reaction to various disasters. Sarbanes-Oxley was in response to the Enron and WorldCom scandals. Dodd-Frank was in response to the 2008 financial crisis. So this is not atypical that the public and politicians lose interest most of the time. With the new problems that arose this week with respect to J.P. Morgan's trading loss, well, that's certainly going to give some push to the SEC and the CFTC in completing the rulemaking process. But I don't think it's going to make much of a change in the process.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Volcker rule or some other rule that might have been in place here to prevent this trading loss. Would you recommend, as an expert and professor of finance at the Center for the Study of Financial Regulations, that the regulation on something like this should be a disclosure kind of regulation? Should it be a reserve kind of regulation where a bank would have to put up money indicating that they've made this risk and protect for that risk and then disclose that to the public? Or would you, you know, talk about the Volcker rule itself, which basically says you can't do any of this with house money, bank money?
First, to the extent that you are insuring the bank's creditors from the federal government through deposit insurance or in other ways or implicitly, it makes sense to limit the risk that banks could take. Otherwise, you have a moral hazard problem where people will take very risky bets knowing that they will be bailed out by the federal government. So in that sense, it might make sense to limit the risk-taking as the Volcker Rule tries to do. If that's not an issue, then disclosure might be perfectly fine. And for smaller financial institutions, which are not likely to be bailed out, you probably don't want to limit that sort of risk-taking. Volcker Rule is a good illustration of how difficult things are in practice. You write a rule that says that you limit how much the risky trading bank can do, but you carve out exemptions for market making or for hedging behavior. Then you find out that in practice, it's really, really hard to figure out what is market making, what is hedging, what is proprietary trading for gains. There's large, large gray areas there.
And what do you think this deal was? Was it a market-making operation? Was it a hedge? Or was it just some rogues going wacky at the casino?
That's a good question. I don't know. My understanding is they had a $100 billion position that they were losing money on. So it was a very large position. I think that they've said that it was originally set up as a hedge, and not sure if that's what it eventually evolved into.
And the fact that it can slide even in the midst of the transaction is also another challenge for the regulators, because it could be one thing one day and something else the next day. Paul Schultz, thanks so much.
Okay, my pleasure.
Paul Schultz is professor of finance at the Center for the Study of Financial Regulation at Notre Dame, talking about the regulation writing process that's now ongoing on the Dodd-Frank Act that could bear on the fortunes of JPMorgan Chase.